All right, let's verify. I apologize for coming so late. We'll be delayed today. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, let's begin. We're off page 40, Hashem. Let's start on page 40. We're in the middle. Go back maybe just to drop Pasuk Tes. We're finishing up today Mizmor Hey. We'll do a little bit more Mizmor, see how much we'll see how much we'll do. But right now, let's finish up the Mizmor and start on page 40, Mizmor Hey. We're on Pasuk Tes. Hashem Lecheni V'Tzidko Secha. Pasuk Tes, Hashem, guide me v'tzidko sech leman shoroi, hay shar lefonai darkecha. Hashem, guide me. This is what we left off on this idea. Hashem, guide me in your righteousness, leman shoroi. So we discussed this, the two different perushim, what does it mean, leman shoroi? Either it means to show up, in order to show up those people that yearning for my defeat, for my downfall. They look at me in a begrudging way. They cannot wait another moment for me to fall onto stumble. So the word sharoi in this context would then have a very negative connotation. They gaze at me with negativity. And then we had another perush, which means sharoi means no. People that look at me, they look at me kind of positively. The Targum said this. Targum says, Beglal Tush Bechai, which means for my fans. Don't do it for me, Hashem. Do it for my fans. I have a fan club. My fan club, they're very good people. They're very honorable people. And they want me to succeed. So for their sake, not for my sake, guide me in your righteousness. It's a world of a difference. World of a difference if the word sharoi has a connotation of a negative. People that want me to stumble and to fall, show them up. Give me the hana of allowing my enemies to be defeated, to see that they're wrong, or no, do it, whole different connotation, do it in order to the zechus of the people that are rooting for me. Okay? And then Haishar Lifonai Darkecha, Haishar means to make straight. Make my way straight before you. Who are the ones who are the Yishrim? This is the word that Yisharim. Chumash Bereishis is called the Sefer HaYoshar. Why is it called Sefer HaYoshar? Because it's the Sefer of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are called the Yisharim. We're asking here in this pasuk, Hashem, make us, David is saying, make me like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Haishar, Lefonai, make it straight before me, Darkecho, your way. This pasuk is merum, is that David HaMelech, wanted to, that the Shemona Esrei should conclude, Elokei Avraham, we should begin. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei David. David also wanted to join this exclusive club of being called basically an Av, because who are the Yesharim? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the Yesharim. Sefer HaYoshar. He also wanted to be in that league of being a Yashar. Obviously, and what happened, Hashem said to him, if you want to be an equivalent to the others, you have to be tested. So David said, okay, so test me. He was tested, and it did not work out well. What was the test? David of Hashem, Ma'aseh Hashem. And therefore, David learned the hard way, don't ask Hashem to test you. We say every single day, lowly day we are mispalul, every single day, lowly day nisoyoin, the lowly day vizayon. Why is the expression of lowly day vizayon juxtaposed to lowly day vizayon? Because it's almost inevitable that if a person is tested, he's going to fail. What are the chances?
Would you say that was his only test?
No, it wasn't his only.
No, right?
Wasn't his only test? Of course not. But he did ask. David HaMelech. Yeah.
One could think of a couple of others.
Sure, his whole life was full of every person, every single day you're tested. But that was a very challenging time of his life, and there were major consequences.
But there he asked.
He brought it upon himself.
He asked to be tested
because he wanted to be equivalent to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's the merumas in this pasuk. Haishar lefonai darkecha, should make my way straight before you.
Why do you say darkecha and not darki?
That Hashem's way.
Darki. Make my way. Not darkecha. Derech Hashem is, of course, straight. It's already straight.
Haishar lefonai. But I guess in this context, what it means is that Hashem, your way is for sure straight. Your derech.
Yeah.
But allow me to navigate on that derech hayosha. I always say, but it's more like a poetic expression. Your way, Hashem, for sure is straight. But my way is crooked. align my way with your way so that I should also be sure. Give me the siyat of the Shema that my way should be straight the same way. Let's see.
In another place he says, Horeni Hashem darkecha.
Show me your way.
Right. Show me.
So why here does it say darkecha when he hayishar? Okay, let's see the Mesilas David. You're making a good point. Let's see the Mitzudais David on page 40. Necheni v'sikasecha tein b'libi l'leches b'derech tzedaka. Put in my heart the desire to travel in the way of tzedaka. Uleman ha'deshoim ha'laluch ha'mabitim ha'vitzapim al ma'polasi. The Mitzudais learns, like we said, many of the Mepharshim learns, is that the word sharoi means do it. Hashem, grant me this success in order to show up. Show them up. You have a special hanah to show up. I went to the Aguda convention this past Mitzvah Shabbos with Rav Michal, and there, the executive director, Chaim David Zweibel, he was talking about Cuomo, Governor Cuomo. Basically, he had such hana.
first defeated him in Supreme Court.
Such hana to show him up. He went, the Aguda took them to court, and they won the case. They won, he had such hana. How he expressed himself. I was very surprised.
Then
the audience applauded for a very, very long time.
When he mentioned the Mapala.
I was very surprised because there were a lot of politicians in the room. Okay, there were a lot of.
Are you supposed to be rejoicing in the downfall of your enemy?
You see, you're saying something very, very good. Been full of Hal Tismach. You're asking a very tough question, especially us in Golis today. He did it in a very,
his style is very understated.
He's very, very, very,
very gentle.
Who's talking?
But it was very clear.
Who's talking?
Rabbi Chaim David Zweibel. It was very clear, though, it was very personal. He was like someone who was abused. It sort of came out like this thing, it affected him very much, this whole episode, very, very much. He felt very abused. Very betrayed. A lot of people, you should know, this whole tikkun, these last 2 years, a lot of people, it's all over the place, a lot of people who developed over decades very close relationship with people in government,
right,
across the board. This whole last 2 years, the degree of betrayal, outright betrayal of, we're so good, we bend backwards, we do everything that we possibly can sincerely to follow the rules, to be honest, to really, really do what we're supposed to do. And the lack of reciprocation of just betrayal, outright betrayal.
If the way Cuomo spoke about the...
Right, anti-Semitism, and there were certain statements... There was certain horrible. He quoted word for word what statements that were made, and it was very personal. It was a very personal expression of frustration of being betrayed. That's really, it came out a lot, and it's across the board. I mean, this is something over here in every sector. This pandemic really brought out the worst. The worst in everyone, not everyone, but it's it was interesting. It was definitely, and Michal will tell you all about it.
So what can people learn? Not to trust in the government?
No, you can't say that. You can't say that.
You have to work with them.
But it was a very unusual circumstance. Like these last 2 years was really. It's not over. Was a really very, very unusual time. And a lot of things just very...
There are ones who do. And I said, many years ago, my aunt was saying one time, she said about Nixon, she was a public school teacher all her life, but she wasn't one of these liberal crazies. And she said, she voted for Nixon. She said, because when you buy him, he stays bought.
If you buy him?
When you buy him, he stays bought. He said that was her line about Nixon.
That's the Chinese advice.
He hold, You know, you made you a promise, you'll keep it.
All right, this Rashi is, you say the Mitzvah Stavit is something which really, as we spent time last week, is really something very, very interesting. David HaMelech, you cannot ignore what it says here. These words are very powerful. Again, the Mitzvah Stavit. This is a very powerful interpretation of this pasuk, both according to the Targum and according to everyone else. His words are, Tein belibi leleches b'derech tzedakah, Hashem, grant me success. Grant me a desire to be a righteous person. Uleman harishoyim halalu hamabitim umitzapim al mapolasi. Why? Do it to show up the wicked people that are gazing at me in a begrudging way, and are yearning that I should fall. And David's saying that itself is enough of a reason that you should give me success, siyata d'shmaya, not because I deserve it, it's because they should have a mapala. Okay, that's not something you teach your children in elementary school, why you should be a good person. You don't teach your children in elementary school, you should be a good person because to show up the wicked people. That's not what you do. You be a good person for your own sake. Don't have ulterior motives. Here, David is in a different stage in his life. And, you know, this statement has to be taken in context. There are, obviously, you have to be a good person because you want to be a good person. That itself is priceless. But there are times in life where you want a little boost, and the boost is not necessarily for this pure sake, but it's to show up the wicked people. You know, this really is something which is an explosive type of ideology in Hashkafa. How far do you go with this? And David here, according to the Mitzvah, so Rashi, it's the same thing we'll see in a moment, who says this statement, do it. He fataiches the word shoriroi as those people who are being mitzapeh and mabit for my mapolo. Show them up. Ulval yoimar, they shall not say yideim rama, they should not say, look, our hands are successful. So what does David say? No, hell, show them up. Tain belibi, put in my heart, liyos darkecha yoshor be'inai. So here, I'm trying to answer your question. Put in my heart that your way should be yoshor. Your way, Hashem, show me, like, horeini Hashem darkecha. Put in my heart the ability to discern that the derech Hashem is the derech yoshor. David's saying, I don't see it yet. I need siyata d'shmai to see how your approach, your guide, I should not stumble down this path. Then when I will go down your path, Hashem, my enemies will not be able to overcome me. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasik tes shoroi o yinai, which means the people that afflict me. We learned this last week. We'll review here just a bit. And that is Re'ei No Ve'on Yeinu. Hashem, please gaze, look at those people who afflict us. Hametzapim, what does it mean in this context? Exactly what we learned in the study, in the other words. Hametzapim, who are yearning, She'ev Goyd Becha, that I should rebel against you, I should stumble or sin against you, Hashem, and thus, in consequence for sinning, Va sa'azveini, you Hashem will abandon me. My enemies cannot wait until I stumble, I make a mistake, I do an avera, so that you will abandon. Yeah.
It's like my enemies, they monitor my every move, waiting for a chance.
Like politics.
So exactly. So it's a combination of monitoring me, watching, ambushing.
That's why it's such a disturbing interpretation, because when you look at, if you follow politics, not everyone follows politics, it's a sickening, though every single thing is all about politics. And whatever side you take, I take the opposite. And you can't wait, the media can't wait both ways.
One
little thing, just a sick way to live. It's a sickness. And it's very disturbing, this parish. You learn this parish, David is saying that these people here, they hate me, they can't wait for me to stumble, and Hashem grant me success is not because I this is the derech, this is the Hashem's derech. It's to show them up. It's not a simple interpretation.
But it's for the good.
It obviously is good for the good.
Show them up how wrong they are. They will see that they were wrong.
So this is a very big hashlafic. This has been a very big debate throughout history, how to live. There are Jews, Gedolei Yisrael, that advocated for Jews to live in a ghetto. To do exactly this. Don't care about the goyim. Let them do whatever they want. Let them write all the nonsense they want. Jews should just isolate themselves in a ghetto, somehow survive, have enough parnasa.
They will never see the greatness of God. Show them that
you're
I
not
going to
win,
won.
Though. So,
show them that I won, and they fell.
So the attitude is. So the attitude of this group. I'm not saying. I'm just telling you. These are historical facts. The attitude is. That's for Hashem. The niska of Hashem levadoi bayoy mahu. Not now. We don't see ourselves with all our shtadlus that we really can make a dent in lightening the anti-Semitism. Al derech hateva. So you know what? Just live your life in peace. Go into the ghetto. Somehow have a parnasa, survive, just get by. And as far as showing up the goyim, showing them up, leave it to Hashem. It's not going to happen in our generation. Times of Mashiach, not in our generation. That has been the attitude of many, many Gedolei Yisrael. Right. On the other hand, there are Gedolei Yisrael that totally disagree. Lubavitcher Rebbe, totally disagree. Bayom HaHu is today. Today is Bayom HaHu. Show them up. Do everything you can possibly do. Derech HaTeva. The Aguda, the whole convention was all about this. You know, advocating, you know, working with government.
Both sides are represented
okay.
There.
You're trying, you know, you're doing your hishtadlus, hishtadlon, and all this. It's a very delicate balance. Because a lot of times it backfires. It gets even worse. There's terrible betrayal that's in the biggest of Hashem. How do you balance? How do you balance the interpretation? Here you have a parish. David is saying with clarity, according to Rashi and according to the Mitzudos, guide me in your right to show up my enemies. Show them up. That's right. Let the world see. The Bayoyim Ahu is today. Today is the Bayoyim Ahu. But obviously, you know, it doesn't always work. You gotta, you know fight, you can't choose your battles.
Exactly. That
session.
The theme of that session.
I wanted to do that session. They didn't let me. I was probably supposed to do that session. They switched the rules the last
That's
minute.
Basically what the theme
they switched. They put me in the key of a session. Okay. What? I have no time for this. That's not the. It's not the issue. This is, issue is pushing people around. The whole Hanoi is to push people around. You tell them what to do.
In the back, Tamari has a Hebrew birthday today.
Oh, Mazel Tov, Tamari! Tamari, happy birthday! Happy birthday!
Has back. It's not Chol Yisrael, but it's Cubs
of Colors. Okay, Mazel Tov to Tamari. Shabbat Arichas Yom. The bracha you give on a birthday is Shabbat Arichas Yom.
When one of the people give their class. Do they have somebody monitoring what you say to make sure that with the RCA they do. That's what I mean.
They have to have because
they're
depending
don't.
On the topic.
What you, I'm there, they're not even talking about. You say whatever you want to say.
I'm just saying that certain topics in the RCA conventions, they have, let's say, Heschel Shecht will be sitting at the table while somebody else is making a speech to make sure he doesn't say anything wrong. And
there aren't so many listeners,
you know, like
and it's not such
making a speech about end of life.
Yeah, but end of life, so what they did
was yeah,
so
the
woman
have,
got up
like,
to speak.
You know, you see somebody.
I wasn't there. Listen, not every, not everyone that runs these things is so clever and so. It's not so. You think, it's so organized. It's very. You know, not everyone is so smart.
I was giving a shiur one time, and
don't
I said
take
it Vanilla about something, and it's just that Ebba that was sitting there when like this.
Don't take anything there too seriously. I wouldn't take anything there. It's a very, this is just a social event. It's not a, don't worry. Don't take anything too seriously.
Now just curious how they,
there aren't even so many people watching. It's not even such a,
Chaim Aruchim.
It's not such a big deal. Okay, let's go further. Let's, so therefore, Ashurenu v'loy karav. I see it, but not anytime soon. Okay, Rashi is quoting, what does it mean the word shoroi? In this context, it's interesting. Rashi is quoting a pasuk of Bilam. Bilam is getting a preview of Yemos HaMashiach, and the words he uses is Ashurenu v'loy karav. He says these words, he quotes this pasuk Rashi, after Rashi says that you're looking in this context, it means to gaze, being mitzape, for a person's defeat, his downfall. So this Rashi here indirectly coming to tell us something very deep about his understanding of the words, Ashurenu v'loy karav. Bilam is getting Hashem showing him a vision of Yemos HaMashiach. And Bilam, if you really want to connect the dots of this Rashi, it's not what you would learn Pashup Shat, Bilam, it pains him. It pains him to witness Klal Yisrael to be supreme in the times of Mashiach. When you learn Chumash, you don't get that impression. You get the impression Bilam was a Rasha. He wanted to curse Klal Yisrael. He couldn't kill less. And then when he sees the Matoyevu Alecha Yaakov Mishkan Osecha Yisrael, he's overwhelmed. Wow. Klal Yisrael is such a beautiful nation. Ashurenu, I see them in the future, Yemos HaMashiach, but V'loy Karoiv, I see it's not going to happen right away. You don't get the impression when you read the Pesukim of Bilam's visions that he has a begrudging attitude towards what he sees.
But that's why he makes the best witness, because he's a hostile witness.
But he turns around very quickly.
That's what the Chazal
says. But according to this, the way if you would want to connect the dots, and Rashi says the word Ashurenu means with negativity, and then Rashi quotes all the pesukim he can find. He specifically quotes the pasuk of Bilam. It's as if Rashi is saying that when Bilam was given the vision of Klal Yisrael Yemos HaMashiach being successful and being dominant, it ate him up.
Yeah.
He couldn't live with himself. Similar to Yisrael, here Rashi here says, "When Yisrael, by Yichad Yisrael, kol hatova asher osa Hashem li Yisrael, Yisrael rejoiced." So Rashi asked the question, "Why does the pasuk choose word by Yichad?" And he says, "Loshem chidudim," which means that he had
goosebumps.
And Rashi explains it was painful for him. It was painful for him to see the success of Klal Yisrael, because he lived his whole life
a
lie.
Not a real comparison to Bilam.
What?
Obviously not a real comparison.
Why? I mean, there's something there. Yisrael lived... Rashi says that it was... And then Rashi goes on and says, you should never tell a Ger Tzedek, say something negative about the origins, the nation from where a Ger Tzedek came from. Because even though now he abandoned his previous life, his previous nation, his country, but still he's connected to it. And if you say something negative about where he came from, it pains him. Yisrael, that's what we learn from Yisrael, right? Yichad Yisrael. So over here, Rashi seems to say something very, very similar regarding Bilam. Bilam is obviously not part of Klal Yisrael, and obviously he has nothing, he had no good intent for Klal Yisrael, and now he's witnessing incredible things, beautiful things about the world. And Rashi says, that's what it means, Ashurenu. He's looking at the future and he's seeing our success and it pains him. He looks at it in a negative way, like, oh, look at these people. I wish they would make a mistake, they would stumble, I have something negative or some crack, or I can use it as a wedge to bring upon them, to bring upon them suffering. And that he can, obviously.
As the God who's above you.
Ovadia, he was a Navi. He was able to abandon
his own people's downfall.
He knew a lot of these people. Again, you know? He was able to overlook it. Okay, Pasuk Yud. Now we go to the next Pasuk. These wicked people, there is nothing in their mouth that is correct. It sounds like it's talking about a politician.
Should we go again?
There is nothing that they say that is correct. Kirbam, their innards, Havois, is crooked. Kever pasuach giroinam. Their throat is like a grave, an open grave. Lishoinam yachalikun. Their tongue is smooth. They know how to say It's a talent. You listen to these politicians. This is a politician. When he asks them a question.
Somebody is a smooth talker.
Smooth talker. It's phenomenal. Especially, you know, like the people, the press secretaries for the president of the United States, the press secretaries. It's, you can ask them. It's unbelievable how they're able to ask them a question, a very powerful question. You caught them without a smoking gun, and you present it, and they have this ability to, like,
deflect or spin?
To spin it and deflect it in such nice words. They joke about it. They use their hands, the body language. It's remarkable. And so many people fall for this. You have a smoking gun, sheker v'chazak, and it's l'shoinam yachalikun. Their tongue is smooth, smooth talkers. So we have over here all different parts of the palate, all different parts of the mouth. There's the peh. There is the kirbom. Okay, what is the kirbam with regard to speech? I do not know. And then there is giroinam and leshoinam. Four words. The peh, the kirbam, giroinam, their throat, and leshoinam. Let's see the mitzvah is another pasik yud. Ki ein befiyu, ein befeh echa mechem lechoinam. Nirim ki oyavim, they make believe that they love you. Veheima le'oivim. But the truth is, they really are your enemies. That's pretty scary. Kirbam bekerev libam choshem havois. And he learns the mitzvah stuff that the kirbam means their heart. Their heart is thoughts, havois. What does havois mean? So look at the mitzvah siyim. Shever. He teaches the word havois. I translate it for you to be crooked. That's not what he says. He says it means to be broken. L'shaber oisi. Let's look in the Malbum. The Malbum, the Perish Hamilois, okay, L'shoinam, B'fiyam L'shoinam, L'choina, no, he doesn't even want to, he doesn't go to the Malbum. Let's see if you look, he says in the Deir Ha'inyan, he types the word Havos, Kirbam Havos, Groinam, Hu HaKever Pasuach, Shoye, he doesn't want to touch it. He doesn't touch the word. So we'll leave with the Mitzvah to stop it. Havois, I thought Havois seems to be crooked. Obviously, I'm wrong. He teaches in here to me to be broken. What is
there are some others.
The Targum say. Let's look at the Targum. Mitul, because the less bifum hoin derashie, there's not in the mouth of the wicked. He adds the word wicked over here. Kevonusa is kavana.
Their intent.
Okay, so they do not have good intent. I just ki ain b'fiu nechoina. Nechoin lash of kavana. Kavana means intent, and obviously they do not have good intent. Next, kirbam, he translates gufei hoin, their body. Their guf is malyon, is filled isri gushta with feelings. Heich shiol, that's very isri gusha. Is regusha. That's the next. That's the next. Kever pesach groinam. That's really the next one. Heich sheyol pesiach giron hon. How their throat is. I'm not sure what those words mean. Okay, but it seems over here from the word groinam. It says, but it does seem that the word kirbam havois means their guf is filled with. Isri gushta means feeling. Mitul the less the fumon. Maybe it's going back on the previous expression. The word ain. Perhaps I'm not sure. Perhaps according to the Targum, when it says the word ain is to be applied to the word kirbam havois. There is ain b'fiu nechayna, and you have to repeat the words. Ki ain b'kirbam havois. Okay, that's a very common technique that's used in Tanakh, is where words are meant to be repeated. It would appear possibly that according to the Targum, the words ki'ein is meant to be repeated a second time. First, it says that these wicked people, they do not have any good intent what comes out of their mouth. They have no good kavan, there's no good intent. And they do not have in their hearts, in their bodies, any feeling, regesh, any passion to do for you good. Their only desire is to see your defeat. That would make us repeat the word ki'ein. I'm not sure that is correct, but the Mitzvah Stavit clearly does not say that. He says, kirbam havos, their inside is broken. These are broken people. People that are corrupt, broken. There's nothing, they do not have any good they're not upright people. They're fakers. They make believe they love you, they really hate you, and their insides are broken. He's not repeating the words according to the Mitzvah stuff.
Let's go. We have a similar expression in Yoshe mistakes there.
From a person who's broken. So how does it translate in the art scroll? You have an art scroll translation?
I don't have the translation here.
From a gever havois, from a man who is broken.
Dever.
I'm sorry, dever, from plague.
Or words. Okay,
so there it means also we have to be consistent, at least for now. The word havois means broken. People who are broken, they don't have anything good about them. Mm-hmm. Let's go further than the Tzudos. Ugroinam kever basuach ki shrafim levoleini. They want to devour me. Ki kever habolea esames. Like a grave that swallows up the dead. Ugroinam yidaber chalak lakois. They speak smoothly. The enam yoytzim in alev. They do not. They are insincere. Insincere people. Because everyone will be different words. It's very interesting. Kever basuach ugroinam. He learns that they want to literally swallow you up in the grave. That's the intent of these words. Very powerful stuff. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk yud. He aimed if you nechoinim nidim koyavim v'heim oidim v'mitzudos David. He lifted his translation straight from Rashi. Next, kirbam havois machshavos sam
nirma. Can we say that kirbam havois kever patuach?
You want to put it together.
That inside becomes kever patuach.
Kirbam, their insides.
It's like a grave. It's like a
head. So how you want to havois means like it just means they are kirbam. Yeah, havois is becomes.
It became.
So it's a different translation. Okay, I hear what you're saying. You think havois means it's just a description. It's not an actual.
Became.
Okay, that's different. That's okay. That's a parish, but it's a little bit different. Kirbam, their inside became like a kever pasuach. All right, it's okay, enachanami.
It could be.
Rashi does seem to say what I was trying to say. Rashi says the word kirbam havos machshavosam nirma. Rashi learns kirbam to mean their thoughts. Havos, he translates like that. I think the comment's crooked, deceit, crookedness. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's probably what I'm thinking. I was thinking that's the common, I think it's more common translation.
Yeah.
It means crooked, and kirbam means their thoughts. We have their peh, they have, do not have good intent with their mouth. Their kirbam is their thoughts are corrupt. Kever pasuach giroinam, their throats. Rashi, kever pasuach giroinam livloya to swallow yigiyah achayrim, the hard work of others. Kikever habolea es hagof, like a grave that swallows up the body. Their words. With their words, they completely devour the accomplishments of other people. It's a very, very scary thing. People, they work very, very hard to accomplish, to achieve, and someone comes along and issues a false report, and they take credit for themselves, or they're in total denial of all the good chesed that other people have done. And you'd be surprised, people, just by saying a couple of words, the amount of damage you can do. Now the damage and the harm and to deny the good of other people with a couple of words, you devour with your throat the accomplishments of other people. Levloya yigia achirim, the toil, the effort, the hard work of others, and kever like a grave. Habale esagof ya chalikun. Divrei chalak lakoy, smooth talk. Okay, so here, quite a description of these wicked people. Pasuk Yirav, ho ashemim, those that are guilty, kama.
Are you on Zoom?
Yes, I am.
It's on.
Okay, who's calling? There's someone over here. Okay, ho ashemim, because he's probably, normally he's probably going on the other channel, that's why. We want to call him, may have said, call him, tell him that he's probably on the evening channel. We're on the Young Israel channel, on the morning channel. There are two channels. Ho Hashemim, those that are guilty, Elohim Yiplu Mimo Atsehem, those who are guilty, may Hashem, he's a plena, may Hashem cause them to fall. Period. Mimo Atsehem, their plans, Beroiv Pishayan, in the abundance of their transgressions, Hadi Chemo, push him away. He Morubach, he has rebelled against you. This means angst a little more perish. Let's see the Mitzvah, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzvah on page 43. Pasuk says, Hu Hashemim, Lochain, therefore. Hu Hashemim, Ba Mishpat, those who are guilty in Mishpat. So this Pasuk is the wind down. Now, after we have described until this point in time the wicked people, now we're coming back. Now David is winding down. Therefore, now that we have presented the Rasha in his full glory, it's now time that the Rasha should get what he deserves. Therefore, the guilty, Ho Hashemim, look at the Lochein. That one word in the Mitzvah David is an enormous amount of commentary. Lochein. Therefore, the Mitzvah David is injecting one word which totally changes the trajectory of where this Mizmor is heading. Ho Hashemim b'mishpat v'yiplu, may they stumble b'shefel hamatzav, to the lowest level. Their situation should be dire. Ba'avur du roiv atzosam, because of their evil plans. Ukifi roiv pishayam, and here now he says something very interesting. B'roiv pishayam means in accordance. It should be mida k'neged mida. Uchefi, in proportion to roiv pishayhem, Cain, likewise, hadichem, you should push them, midechi el dechi, from one downfall to the next, from one push to the next push, ki haloi voch mardu, they deserve it. They have rebelled against you, ki hisharta alze, you warned them not to do this. Okay, so let's read the pasuk inside according to the parish of the Mitzvah David. He injects a lot of parish. Pasuk Aleph really begins with an invisible word. The invisible word is Lachain. Therefore, Ho Hashemim, the people who are guilty, may it be Elokim Yiplu Mimo'atso Sehem. May Hashem cause them to stumble because of their evil plans. They're guilty. And what is the guilt? The guilt here primarily seems to be referring to their plans, which does mean they did not necessarily succeed. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokim is Midas Hadin, may Hashem cause them to stumble because of the evil plans, and then they should be punished Mida Kineged Mida. Beroif, in corresponding to Pishayhem, to their evil deeds, may they be pushed away, Hadichemo, push him away from place to place. And they cannot later on come and say we're innocent, they have done nothing wrong. It's not true. Ki moru vach. According to the Mitzvah study, whenever you have the word moru, it implies that you were warned. Sometimes you have a person that just rebels. You have a person, you know, you're a citizen of the state, and you don't like the king, you don't like the governor, you don't like the president, and on your own, you go out and do whatever you want. That's one type of transgression. But then there are situations where you already started to make trouble and you've been warned, do not head down this path. If you go down this path, you will be in a lot of trouble. You were warned and you made a decision to rebel, ignore the warning. That is where the word merida applies. There are different ways to rebel. There's a chet, a pesha, an avoin, and there's a merida. There's nirdain. Nirdain is used more often than not where you've been warned. This is your first warning, your second warning, your third warning. And then you go up against you violate a direct order. That is called merida. When a person just doesn't like what the situation is and just does not follow the rules, that's not called a merida. That's called a pesha, an avain, a chet. There are other terms for that. A merida is, we're warning you, don't do this. If you do this, we're gonna punish you. And that's exactly what these evil people have done. They've made plans, they've done committed crimes, they were warned not to do so, and therefore they're guilty. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring about their downfall, and may they be punished Mida Kineged Mida. Let's see Rashi passing it out.
It's amazing what he does here, that he, Ha'oivim Shelo, they are also Oivim Shel Hashem, Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
They're your Hashem.
He did it in his Mishmor Shel Yom HaShabbat too. kine reshaim, kine ovecha Hashem, and then he says, makamim alai meriim, alai. So he says,
David represents Klal Yisrael. David is saying, it's not just against me. I represent. That's true leadership. True leadership is, it's not personal. It's who I represent. These are the people who I represent, and when they rebel against me, they're in essence rebelling against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They have to be punished. That's a very interesting sign of leadership, where you're so given over to the cause, to who you represent, you view yourself not as an individual, you view yourself as the people that you represent. And that's why David...
Especially that he was chosen by Hashem.
So he's talking about Jewishness, not them, or Goyim?
Both. See, you make a good point. Because if you look, Rashi seems to indicate that you're talking about Jewish. The Mitzudah doesn't as parif. Because Rashi, in the previous page, he talks about the people, the Shoroi, HaMitzapim She'ev Goyim B'cha. I should rebel against you, V'sa'azvein, and you, Hashem, will abandon me. A Goy doesn't talk like that. A Jew talks like that. A Jew can't wait until if a Jew goes and he has an asik with an eishes ish, and it's consensual, so a goy has no problem with that, right? A goy has no problem with that. Only a Jew. Oh, you did an avera. You rebuild against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The flavor of Rashi Shoroi more leans, at least in my view, is that. It's Jewish troublemakers. Mitzudah is much more general. Goyim, the non-Jews, cannot wait for the Jews to be defeated. Okay, but and obviously, Elu ve'elu diri elokim chayim. Let's go to the pasuk base. Or we have to do Rashi. The Rashi. We have to go do all the pasukim together. Do the Rashi. Let's go to the pasuk base. V'yismuchu kol chosei vach. Then, when our enemies are defeated, then who will rejoice? All of those that seek refuge.
Where did you start?
Pasuk Yibes. I'm reading down the pasuk. I'm going back to the pasuk. I'm reading the pasuk. Page 42. Pasuk Yibes.
Didn't
it
start
being
Moetzos?
We did already.
It shows that even Rishoyim have a Moetzos.
That's funny. The Yisnechu kol Chosei Vach. Those that seek refuge. The word chosei is not an easy word to translate. Okay, in the Mitzudot Sion, it doesn't really translate the word. Kol chosei, it means those people that seek refuge. What does it mean to seek refuge? To seek shelter? It's not such an easy word to translate. The word chosei, unfortunately here, it does not really translate it in the Mitzudot. I don't see any translation either in the Malbim, but those people that seek shelter in HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rejoice. Le'olam forever, Yiranenu. Forever they will praise you. V'sasech Olema. Now that word, we have a little bit of a translation. V'sasech means schach, like sukkos. On sukkos, we put on top of the sukkos, schach. They will seek us as a shelter. How is the word v'sasech different than the word choisei? Those two words are. There has to be a difference between them. They cannot be exactly the same. Problem is, at least for me, when you translate those words,
they're
different words. They're not the same words. But they're different. It means shelter. All those that's another issue. Who's seeking shelter? Who's coming forward? But the word of chosei means shelter, and the word v'sasech also means shelter. What's the difference? It can't be. They're not the same word. They're a different word. They have different letters. Ches and samach verse samach and chof. The chof is part of schach. It's part of the shorish. There's no chof in chosei. Chosei means ches and samach. So and they both of these words are used throughout Tanakh, and they both mean shelter. Obviously, they're different. They have a different flavor of shelter. The Sasech Olim, you Hashem bring shelter upon them. The Yal Tzuvach, they will exult. Another word of rejoice, similar to the word Simcha. There is Simcha, and there is Alitza. Is Alitza the Tzadi? What does that mean? It was an expression of joy. The Cha in you. I have a shmecha, those that love your name. Pasuk Gimel, Ki Ato Tevorech Tzadik Hashem. You Hashem, you bless the Tzadik. He then inquires, why is the word brachsha after tzaddik? Then it goes to the good of here, katsina ratzoin ta'atren, like a shield of you will envelop him. Let's see the mitzuda is done. Pasuk yud beis. Mitzuda is the yismuchu avon. Okay, so here we have another word of commentary. He's coming to add in the word avol. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, we introduced it with an invisible word, Lochein. In Pasuk Yud Beis, we are introducing Pasuk Yud Beis with an invisible word, Avol Bot. Hachoysim Vach, those that seek shelter in you, Yismichu Le'olam, will have joy forever. V'atan you, Soseich Aleihem, you will protect them in Bnei Hora'ah. V'cha, Bishu Asech in your salvation, Ki'ata, Soreis HaMikra. Okay, the last part we have to reverse the words. Ki ato Hashem tivarech tzaddik. You Hashem will bless the tzaddik. Mitzudeis David katsina. You Hashem will bless the tzaddik like a shield. K'moisha atzina misabeves es aguf. Kein tisarvenu. So too you will bless tzaddik. You will surround the tzaddik. Biratzoin with your goodwill. So go back to Pasuk Gilgal. Want to ki ato Hashem tivarech. The word Hashem is not in the right place. It's in the right place, obviously, because that's where the pasuk is written. But for the purpose of interpretation and translation, you have to take the word Hashem and put it after the word Ki Ato. Ki Ato Hashem, you Hashem, Tivorech Tzadik, will bless a Tzadik Katsina, a bracha that surrounds him from all sides. What kind of shield? A shield of Ratzoin Ta'atrenu. This shield will be a shield of Ratzoin that will envelop him from all sides. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. Pasuk Yud Aleph through Yud Gimel. Back on page 42, on the bottom of the one on the right side of Rashi. Mi mo'atzo sehem Hashem yo'atzim al Yisrael. The evil people, the Ashemim, they are conspiring against the Jewish people, the Ozdem. Yismichu will take joy, kol chaseilach, all those that seek shelter in you, v'sasech olemo, tegoinein u'sichichich olemo, you will shelter. V'yaltzu v'cha, kishayiru, when they will witness, she'ata tevarech tzadik, yakoy v'zare, they will rejoice in you, when they witness, and you will bless the tzadik, Yaakov and his seed, Katsina, Hamakefesh Sholoshu Choysov Shel Adam. Now, this is very, very fascinating. Here, we describe a shield, but we describe a shield that's only on three sides, not a shield that is on four sides. What about the fourth side? Why isn't there a fourth side to shelter the tzaddik?
Which side? The fourth?
The back. Any side, wherever. I mean, but you're missing a side. When you want protection, you don't want to leave one side open. In order for there to be full protection, you have to protect them all four sides. No? So over here, Rashi over here says that a tzina is a shield. In ancient times, go to war, so you hold up a shield, and the shield covers you the front and the two sides. What about the back? I guess the back is not necessary when you're going forward to fight the enemy. But in this world, when you're dealing with spirituality, you know, you have to be protected from the back as well. They always say in the Eitz Sara,
Me'achareinu.
Remove the Sada Me'achareinu. And you have many interpretations of what it means Me'achareinu. The person can look back in his life and go, oh, I wasted my whole life. So you know, it doesn't pay. If I did an Aver yesterday, it doesn't pay to do a mitzvah today. That's wrong. That's terrible. That's the Eitz Sahara that comes from behind. That's just one of many interpretations of what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should shelter us from the Yetzer, from what comes behind. But over here, what does it mean then? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should only shelter a person from three sides and not shelter from four sides? So the answer is very obvious, is that if Hashem's going to shelter you from all four sides, you don't belong in this world. You might as well be in the next world. This world is always a place of Nisayim. There's always a makom, a pesach for the Yetzirah to get in and to challenge a person. If a person has achieved the level where he is fully protected from the Yetzirah from all four sides, then you're not living in this world. It says it about Yitzchak, back a couple of parashios before, Elokei Yitzchak. Yaakov Avinu, when he met Lavan, he made a shvuah So no, I'm sorry. Later on, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yaakov, when Yaakov was traveling back to Esav, Hashem said, I am the God of Yitzchak. Rashi is the question: why does the pasuk say that Hashem says, I am the God of Yitzchak? We have a Messiah. Hashem is not miyached, does not rest His name upon the living. You don't say someone is a lekay of a living person. At this point in time, Yitzchak was still alive. So Rashi gives three answers. Number one, he was blind. By being blind, it was kilu, he was maced, he was dead. Number two is very relevant for this COVID, is he was kolui babayis. He was locked up in the house. He couldn't get around. And it seems that's in the, that's the, independent of being blind. For some reason, he was immobile.
And that's why he's locked up in the house, because he's blind.
Oh, so Rashi can say that, isn't he? Yeah. Rashi just says number one, he's blind.
That's why he's
number two, he's immobile. A person that's immobile, kolu babayis, is choshev kimeis. And then what's relevant for this discussion is Pascha mimenu the Yetzahara. Rashi there on that pasuk says that he already conquered the Yetzahara. He was gone. No Yetzahara, you're dead. Kiyimu meis. The whole purpose of being alive in this world is to fight. It's to battle. It's to do battle with the Yetzahara. I heard someone say recently, maybe it was by the convention, I heard someone is that if you go and play soccer and you go and you kick the ball into the goalpost, so if there's no one standing in the goalpost, there's no one, no goalie, no big deal, no kunz, there's no kunz to kick the soccer ball into the goalpost. The whole hana is there's a goalie.
Excuse me, I'm looking into the net.
Into the net. Into the gold, into the
if there's
no one there, what's the big deal? So you kick the ball into the net, into the goal part. The whole hana is there's someone there preventing you, right, protecting it, not to let the ball get in, and you able to overcome and kick the ball in. That's the whole hana. The whole purpose of this world is to battle the Yetzirah. If the Yetzirah is Pascha Mimenu, it says about Yitzchak, the Yitzhar left Yitzchak, so it's Ki'ilu Meis, he died. There's nothing more to discuss. The Tzina, the most you can ask for the Tzaddikim, can ask, and part of being in this world is to have a shield on three sides. If you don't have a shield at all, then that's not a fair game. To live in this world without Hashem giving you Siyat and from protecting you from the Yitzhar, from all the impediments, all of the boyars, the shichinu ma'oris of this world, you don't have a chance. You need siyata d'shmaya to survive every single moment. Hashem should protect us from all of the nisyonos. But if Hashem protects a person to the degree where there's a shield on all four sides, then that's not called life. Rashi is very precise, and he says the shield over here is a shield hamakefes shalosh Ruchoisav Shel Adam. The three sides of man. If you look over here in the Sifsei's Academy, says, Katsina Perish Rashizal, Hamakefes Sholosh Ruchoisav Shel Adam, Ritzel Leimar, Sholosh Ruchoisav Bishleimus, the Koroiv Lurvius. Okay, what does that mean? Near the fourth, the Edusai, the Sif, Tsina Visachera, okay, whatever that, I don't know what it means over there, but it's only three sides and it's not four sides. There's Allah when it comes to there's other psychological reasons. And that is, there's a halacha in the Rambam. Everyone knows this Rambam. When you go to war yeah, against your enemy, you are not allowed to encircle the enemy from all four sides. And a lot has been written. You have to leave them one side open. And a lot has been written to understand the lumbus of the Rambam. Why the Rambam, where does he get that from? What's the makar for that? And why? What does the Rambam mean? Is it because it's a battle plan? It's a psychological advantage that if you allow the enemy to escape from one side, it means they won't fight so hard, and that will be for you an advantage. You'll be able to overcome them. Is that what the Rambam means to say, or is it no? It's adraba. It's not a good idea because they'll leave and they'll come and cause you harm from the other side. It's a matter of rachmanus, right, not to be an achzor. Don't go.
Is Milchamas Rishus only?
I think all Milchamas. Leave Milchamas Mitzvah. You have to. The Rambam, it's incredible. The Rambam, they must study the Rambam in West Point. battle plan, battle strategy. How will this work? The Rambam is an incredible chiddush.
Well, it minimizes casual.
Well, that's part of the discussion.
Said,
the question is, but isn't there a halach when it comes to Amalek of tinche zecher Amalek?
Leave no survivors. That's why it has to say.
Leave no survivors. Okay, so this is a very fascinating. There's such a thing, leaving an area open. Look, even in a sukkah, think about this. Halach al Naisa, what is the size of a sukkah? A sukkah is only two walls and a little bit.
Right.
Three walls at most. The laws of sukkah do not demand four walls. How could that be? How could it be only the sukkah, when you go into a sukkah and Hashem's shelter, the Torah does not demand four walls? What are you talking about? Shouldn't there be a fourth wall in a sukkah? Torah is two walls and a little bit. So let's upgrade from a little bit, we'll make it a whole wall. Where's the fourth wall in the sukkah? Where is it? It's this pasuk right here. This pasuk over here says, V'sosech oleimoi. May Hashem put tzchach. Tzchach, this is the sukkah. The ya'al tzuducha, what is sukkahs? Zman simcha seinu. V'yismichu kol choy sevach. This whole pasuk is describing sukkahs. And how does it talk about the walls? The walls are at Sina. What is at Sina? Rashi, Hamakefes, Shalosh, Uchoisav, Shalodav. Three and not four. The sukkah that you sit in on Sukkah is the sukkah of three walls, not a fourth wall. That fourth wall is irrelevant. In fact, is there such a, did you ever hear of a Hiddur of not having a fourth wall altogether? I never heard of this. Never ever did I come across someone should go out of their way to remove the fourth wall, that it should only be three walls. Never heard of such a thing before. Never. Never. But in principle, it's mamash here in the pasuk. I mean, this is something here, you can't ignore the fact that it says over here that it's a sukkah and it talks about simcha. It's sukkah, it's zman simcha seinu, the zman of simcha space hashoeva. We have the word sukkah, those that seek shelter in you, and we conclude over here like a tzina, and Rashi goes out of his way. What is a tzina? Three sides and not four sides. Halay dava. Why not the fourth side? So you can darshan all you want, but one of the things that a fourth side is, you have to allow, either like we said before, is that the Yetzirah still has a place to come in, to enter, and that's part of the plan, because that's what we're here for in this world. Or also, you think about it the same way with the Rambam, when the Rambam talks about Mulchama, think about it like that. If a person is locked in to a certain way, it's not healthy. You know, they talk about this in Eretz Yisrael. In America, a lot of people, obviously everything has to be taken in its context. Years ago, people used to say that the boys that grow up in America, there are advantages. In Eretz Yisrael, the Haredi system, the religious system, is very rigid. There's no room, there's no great adventures in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, there's no entertainment. If you step out of line, it's a limit of extremes. And it can be, for many people, stifling. And when it's stifling, it's not good.
You feel that way about liquid.
Right. If it's stifling, it's no good. Boys who grew up in America, we grew up. So many people had televisions. Okay? People had televisions. Television then wasn't the end of the world those years. Okay? Today you can't even turn on television. But years ago, it wasn't like the world had come to an end of television. Or, okay, what ready to see on television? And we lived in a Goyish world, and it was entertainment, and there's sports, and there's Yiddishkeit. Many people grew up in a very solid home. The home had three walls. It didn't have a fourth wall. The fourth wall was open. You had a little television. You go to a baseball game. You go out, have some fun here. You go into a Goyish grocery store. You buy a Hershey bar. You know what I mean? You had a fourth wall. And then, but you had three walls of shelter. You had a family, you grew up, and you saw what's inside, and you peeked what's outside, and it gave you the ability to make a choice. This is where I want to be. If you live with a world where there are four walls, you imagine in your mind, wow, what's going on out there? And you stifle to be inside, and then you implode. you grow up under your cooker pressure, and it's not a healthy thing.
COVID, you're locked up. That was
okay. COVID is everything about COVID is a world to itself. But in the makom of the Shechina, it's like when you go to war. When the Rambam says you're going to fight an enemy, don't lock the enemy up on all four sides. Let the enemy have a way out. It changes. Is that part of the Rambam? Does it mean that's part of the Geneva Conventions? Is that a better battle plan for you? Say whatever you want. But there is such a thing that when you're fighting a war, you're protected by the three sides. And the fourth side is open. And in Luchnius, there's a lot of value to that. Not to stifle people. Not everyone fits into the mold. And you know, have a little room to step outside for a breath of fresh air sometimes. It's a very important thing. The Ruchnius is called here, this Rashi is a very powerful Rashi. And Bechol, this is just said by the good convention, right? This they wouldn't like. This is not party line.
In the war, if you totally encircle them, then they are totally lost. Then they'll come out shooting and killing.
Right, exactly right. So there's a
little. You gotta give them a way to get away, even though they lost, they shouldn't come and kill you.
Okay. Right, so there are many ways to analyze it, but the point is you're not allowed to completely encircle them. And it says that right here, Ki ato tivorich tzadik Hashem, katsina rotzoin. Envelop them like a tzina of rotzoin tatrenu. Rashi, what does it mean, a tzina? Hamakefesh shaloish ruchoisof. Not four. Look at a sukkah. A sukkah only has three walls, not four walls. Rotzoin, what does it mean, rotzoin? Nachas ruach. Okay, give them of satisfaction. Tatrenu, tisedavenu, encircle them. Kemo v'sheol anoshav, oitren es David v'es anoshav. So here is oitren, tatrenu means to envelop. Okay, encircled him. All right, so that concludes this mizmor, at least in the pashup shot. I want to select only a few of the mamori chazal, which are very important. And let's maybe just do one now, start now. Tomorrow we'll be very selective in what we do, and then we have to move on to Mizmor Vav. Mizmor Vav. There was one, let's just take a look. Maybe we'll start with one on page 38. Okay, 38. The Mamore Chazal. Mamore Chazal, I find in preparing conquer all. I did take a picture of the things I wanted to talk out. We're running out of time, so I'm going to skip most of it. But more often than not, this selection of the Likutei Shas really touches upon everything you can find in the Mefarshim. They probably work backwards. They probably went to all the Mefarshim and saw what they were referring to and took those Amari Chazal and put it here in the bottom, which really capture everything. Let's see a little bit. Page 38, Hakshiv Lekol Shavi, Malki Velokai Kielech Asfalol. Minayin Lebale Loshoin Hora She'ein Tefilosan Nishmas. Shenemar Hakshiva listen Hashem l'kol shavi to my cry, Malki v'lokoi, ki elecha espalol, ki loy kel chofetz resha ota. You're not a God that wants resha. That's the end. That's the end. And what is the drasha? The drasha is that a person uses his koyach hadibur for lashon hara and likewise nivel peh, then the tool has been damaged. If you take a knife, a chef's knives are very, very valuable. You don't take, the chef does not take his knife and go in his spare time, go out and just, chop some wood with that. The weapon has to be refined, has to be perfect. The koyach hadibur of tefillah is the peh. If the peh is not is clean, because it speaks Lashon Hara, it's not going to work. And that's the drasha. You listen L'kol Shavi, and then it goes on to say in Pasuk Hei, Ki Loi Kel Chofet Zeresha Ata Loigur Chara. What's the juxtaposition? According to this Maamar Chazal, the connection between these psukim of listening, and you do not want Resha. The Resha refers to Lashon Hara. It's not referring to deeds. It's not referring here to action. It's referring to harm that comes through בקויה הדיבור, לא מותר לזוי, מנהל לבן לא שנור שאין, לפי לסת נשמע שנאמר, הקשיבו לכל שווי, מלכי ולכוי, כאילו חסבול, and then it says, כי לא יקל חופי צרשע אותה. The Medrash is teaching the word resha to mean words of resha. Words of resha. Okay, next, Hashem boiker tishma koli, boiker erach lach vatsap, in the morning, you listen to my prayer in the morning, I arrange for you, and I anticipate your salvation. Amar b'chelbo, amar b'chuna, le'olam he'odom zor b'tfilas ha'mincha. Okay, it's a beautiful Gemara. The Mamori Chazal, three Mamori Chazal. And unfortunately, this one that we're about to learn right now does not get the attention it deserves. The one that everyone knows is the Mamori Chazal of the most important tefillah of the day is Mincha. Everyone says Mincha is the most important because Eliyahu was answered at the time of Mincha. Aneni Hashem Aneni in the Maisa with Imla Hashem Luchuachav, Imla Baal Luchuachav, when they made the egg, when they made the carbon for Hashem and Har HaKarmel. Therefore, Mincha is the most important prayer. That's not necessarily true. We discussed this. Shachar is also an important prayer. How do you know that? This Pascha Vier. Ar Mechelbo, Am Rav Hundo, Li Elam Hiyadam, Zor Bishlos Mincha. That's Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Af Bishlos Arvis. Rav Nachma Yitzhak Amar, Af Tefilas Shachris. Shenemar, Hashem Boiker Tishma Koli, Boiker Erech Lach, in the morning I arrange. It's a very beautiful expression. Shacharis is called an arrangement. Mincha, you don't have that. You don't have that expression that Mincha, you are preparing the table. You are arranging. Mincha, you just daven to Hashem. Marav, you just daven. Shacharis is a zman where you arrange all of your needs. Obviously, Shacharis is much more elaborate, and that's why he gets this term. Vatsape, Shachar is the time when you anticipate. You don't have that expression by Mincha and by Ma'ariv. Mincha by Eliyahu, it was immediate results. Shachar, look at Shachar as an investment for the future. One more, Vahid Bashmar Saboiker, Atam Baitse, Shetilas HaTzadikim Nishwam Baboiker. Tzadikim, their prayer here in the morning, Bekodim Shal Neviim. How do you know that the prayers of the prophets are going to be answered? Atzape is also a word that you of anticipation of the fulfillment of prophecy. But the main point we take over here is that we spent time on this about 2 weeks ago. Each prayer has its unique niche, its unique mila. Shachar is the prayer of Avraham. Mincha is Yitzchak. Maariv is Yaakov. Avraham is Chesed. Chesed. A person needs Chesed. He needs from Hashem Siyata Deshmaya in Chesed. He needs Parnosa is Chesed. He needs clothing. He needs what to eat. Shachar is the Tzman. When a person needs to pray to Hashem that he should have to survive in this world. Parnasa, livelihood, and refuah, all things gashmis, shachris is where you should spend your time. A person wants success in ruchnias, avoida, yitzchak, mincha. Mincha is the time to have a long shmone esrei, to have siyata deshmaya in yoni ruchnias. We should build shuls. You want to go build a shul, a beis hakness, a kollel. You want to have inyanei ruchnis. Ma'ariv is survival in Golos. Yaakov, even when he instituted Ma'ariv, Yaakov is Torah, of course. Torah is obviously is a major part of that. But Yaakov, even when he was established the tefillah of Ma'ariv, he was in a very big esara. He was running away from Esav, and he made it tonight. I have to now go to Lavan for 20 years. Like a sentence, a jail sentence, okay? A labor camp. What did Yaakov really do for 20 years? He was in a labor camp. A labor camp. He said himself, he worked. I did, and where it was cold, he goes on. I don't know, Lipsuk Mara, I'm not going to and I got frostbitten, a heat stroke, and then sleep. He went to a labor camp. He went to Siberia for 20 years. And this, I mean, and what did he do before he went to Siberia for 20 years? What did he say? Im yelokim imadi ushmarani b'derech hazeh shanoch yolech. I'll survive. A person feels that the world is closing in on him, and he's not going to survive. That's ma'ariv. So shachris are your basic needs: parnasa, refuah, children, you know, life. What life is all about. Mincha is ruchnis. Ma'ariv is a reshus. Because it doesn't have to always be that you're in a matzav of labor camp. You know, it's not a good, but every person to a degree feels in certain situations that they you know, the world is closing in on them. That's ma'ariv. Each tefillah has its unique ma'ariv. When you connect to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, you dwell upon the tefillah. Here we're focusing on shachris. Asher boiker tishma koli, boiker erlach. And here there's another element is. Shachris is anticipation. It's a long-term investment. Put away money in a retirement fund. Let it grow. Mincha, aneini Hashem aneini. Now, right now, I want the fire to come out of Shemayim and burn the carbon. Now, where? You're not in the basement. You have no right to bring a carbon over here. You're not in Yerushalayim. What right do you have to go bring a kachim b'chutz? Hayrasha.
That's why, by the way, the pasuk is Vayetzei Yitzchak Lasuach Basodeh. He was outside in the field. You're at work in the middle of the day.
It's Harasha. Mincha is like SO emergency. Break all the rules. Break all the rules. What, are you going to hold Hashem hostage? I want it right now. That's not the way tefillah works. You can't hold Hashem hostage. When you pray, you misspell for long term. Sometimes you have an emergency. I need the money now. That's mincha. Ma'ariv is more complex. Ma'ariv, you have to connect to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, when you look at when he established it, how he established it, it has a whole different flavor. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow, either we'll go further, probably, or maybe we'll just first select ideas before we move further to Mizmor Zav. Tachmon the Chanukah, Adarav. It's the best time. It's the best time.
Come on.
How did it go, Friday?
Went fine. But what I wanted to say, I saw the silliest. I was going to say what I saw this morning. I was just breathing.